Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks so much for being with us today as we continue to unwrap the complexities of the conscience. Now, last week we talked about the conscience is given to us by God as a gift and how ignoring the conscience can cause us to become dull of hearing. However, we are able to train our conscience to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we're going to discuss benefits that will help us in that training. So join in the conversation as we uncover how to transform our conscience. In learning about the conscience and becoming aware of how moldable it is, Janie, I'm understanding that it is almost like the missing link that keeps us in bondage even though we are truly free in Christ.
I like the word that you use there, Sharon, on moldable, because in where we are living today in our society, we have a tendency to rationalize everything. So when we are subjected to repeated exposure to the things of the world, and we hear it over and over and over again, and if we see it long enough, we come to rationalize unacceptable behavior. We come to rationalize being willing to look at things that we never would have looked at a few decades ago.
Well, I've noticed that change in the movies, like for even kids. You know, kids' movies used to be G. Now you can hardly find a G movie for children. It's all PG, PG-13. And I tell my kids all the time, you know, I don't want you listening to that because it will callous your heart. I don't want you to watch that because it will callous your heart when you see it for real, you know. But really, it's probably callousing their conscience.
Yes. Dulling. Yes.
Okay.
To where it won't make that siren.
Right.
It might be a weak little whimper, and if we continue to dull it and ignore it, it finally goes silent.
So our conscience is molded and shaped by the things that we see and hear and watch and take part in.
Now, here is the bottom line. When we rationalize that all of this exposure is okay, we have just canceled out the absolutes of life.
Okay.
We have just destroyed the standard.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
If the way some people choose to dress nowadays, when I was growing up, we would have been arrested for indecent exposure.
Yeah.
But now it's sold in all the stores as the latest designs for a woman. And we will give an account for that. And if we have allowed our conscience to so dull us that we don't see anything wrong with that, the day is coming when the Lord says that He will judge all of our heart intents. He will judge if we have chosen to dull our conscience.
Okay.
And rationalization is one of the major tools that we use, because that allows us to have our own opinions.
Our own way,
our own perspective, and be very justified. And when we justify those things that God says are not of Him, once again, we are damaging the conscience, the very tool He's given us as a gift.
Well, I want to reiterate what you had said last week, that the conscience and the Holy Spirit are really working hand in hand.
Sharon, that's true, and yet many people do not recognize when the conscience is operating. So what I'd like to do right now is let's build on what the purpose of the conscience is, what it does, how God has designed it.
Okay.
And for us to really see the goal and the beauty of why we have a conscience, let's see how God designed the conscience for the believer to be able to know Him.
Okay.
All right.
And this is how we can, if we know these things, then we can purposefully help our conscience transform from a dull of hearing conscience to a conscience that is sensitive to hear.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Exactly, yes. Well, the first thing that I'd like to point out is that the conscience allows us to know God, who has been defined in the person of Jesus Christ. There's simply no other way, Sharon, to know God personally and intimately. Now, we talked a few weeks ago, and I don't remember what broadcast it was on, and the fact that many times we don't wait to know God, and to know God does require waiting on Him in meditation and study of the Scripture, because we want to understand Him.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
right.
there is a time to understand Him, but God never commanded us to understand His ways
right
before He told us to know Him. So the subtlety of the enemy is, let's just turn the procedure and let's just turn it around backwards.
Right.
So now we can just sit around speculating on, why do we understand that God did this? And why did God do this? And what was God's objective here? And why was history written this way? And we're trying to figure out God's mind in understanding, when He says, if you would wait on Me and your heart desire to know Me intimately as your God, a lot of this understanding would just melt away in understanding, but you've got to know Me. Stop and think about that in a marriage. What if you and I tried to figure our husbands out before we really got to know them?
Yeah, know their personality, who they were, what made them tick.
And
yeah,
many marriages are based on other factors than really wanting to know your spouse with your heart.
Right.
We need to just know our spouses, first of all, before we can ever understand them.
Well, it's the same with our kids.
Yes.
I mean, I've got a teenage daughter, and I'm an older mom. And so I've caught myself saying, I don't understand her generation. I don't understand her lingo. I don't understand. And God was like, yeah, just get to know her.
Mm, beautiful.
Because they're growing, they're maturing, they change every day. And their personalities are changing as they grow and learn. And so it's all about getting to know the person. And the same is true with God. Of course, He doesn't change.
We have the assurance that he's the faithful friend
right
forever, right? Yes. Well, then second, let's look at what the conscience also provides us with. And that is that God makes known to us His never changing love.
Okay.
So the conscience gives us a tool to be able to see God from God's point of view. I'm amazed at how many times dear, sincere Christians want to know God from the way they perceive Him, not from what He has said He is.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my own prayer life, I say, Father God, don't let me decide my course of action in making a poor decision, because I'm seeing You through my eyes, not through Your eyes, that You tell me that You have given me the wisdom to see, be able to see You. And in light of that, I'd like to just quote a little bit of scripture here.
Okay.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, it says, what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The conscience being one of those gifts that's given to us that we might know the Spirit of God. And it says, which things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom understands, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. For us to compare a spiritual thing with a spiritual thing, Sharon, we must be in the Word of God.
Yes.
And as we are sensitized by repetitively studying the Word of God, our conscience is molded. I think that's the word that you used earlier.
Yes.
It's molded to what the Scriptures say, which is the absolute mind of God, which is the Spirit of God in us making Himself known to us. Now, I'm going to put another scripture in here. and that's 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we speak of many times on these broadcasts, and that is that as we behold ourselves in a mirror, what do we see? Do we see love? Do we see joy? Do we see peace? Do we see a desire to know our family? Or do we see ugliness? Do we see resentfulness? Do we see anxiety, anger, hate? So those two scriptures right there working side by side gives us a prerogative and a priority to be in the scriptures, to be sensitive to the functioning of the conscience.
Okay.
Then let's go on. There's more things that the conscience benefits us with. And that is that the conscience, listening to the conscience, we will discover God's plan for our lives.
Oh, I hear a lot of people ask about that. I don't know what God's plan is for me.
And the thing they need to realize is that the plan ensures a holy walk leading to happiness, not happiness that can ever lead to holiness. We can't go off of our feelings. Oh, I'm so happy about this. I feel so good. God must just be walking with me and everything must be fine. When really the priority must be, how does a conscience lead us to holiness? Which will make us happy.
Right.
But if we try to find holiness by being happy, once again, it's like turning the conscience upside down for the purpose which is it is called. And that's what the enemy's always
like
trying to do.
Completely the opposite.
Yes. And we need to recognize that that's how the enemy operates. He operates with turning things upside down. He just has to twist so that we choose to believe the opposite of what God's mind is. I find that when I'm struggling with something and the thoughts that start to come, I usually write those down and then say, what's the opposite? And then I'll go to the scriptures and the Spirit will confirm for me, oh, wait a minute, you said that it was wrong to compare. Well, yes, it's wrong to compare yourself with another person, but it's not wrong to compare scripture with scripture.
Or your thoughts with the scripture to make sure that your thoughts are in line.
Exactly. But he'll take even just a word and twist it and give us the wrong meaning.
Well, I noticed that if it's the opposite of God, then it's the popular thing going on
right
now.
Yes, and we're going to see that going to become much more normal as an extremity in our lives.
Okay.
Now, Sharon, one of the beautiful things about the conscience is it's like a tool in our toolbox. You know how we speak of the different things that really aid us in growing in grace and knowledge?
Right.
Well, the conscience is probably one of the greatest tools that we can have in our toolbox because it actually provides us with a communication to God directly. And how that works is when we are studying in the Word, then and we are being ministered to by the Word, then the conscience gives us that peace that passes understanding. It gives us joy. We are exercising the fruit of the Spirit, and it's confirming for us that we are right on. Because it's not convicting us of anything, it is affirming. Okay, it's commending. I can say two words, either the conscience commends or it condemns.
Okay.
The two C's, okay. Commending or condemning.
Okay.
But when our ways please the Lord and we are hearing what he says from the Word, then it commends because the Scripture is affirming through the conscience what is the mind of God. So we can have direct communication with him through the scriptures via the conscience.
Because that's where the Holy Spirit is dwelling.
Correct, correct.
Okay.
And then another thing about the conscience that we dearly love in a day of relativism and rationalism is that the conscience brings us to an absolute standard, black or white,
okay.
Yes or no. And we can have a foundation of hope and assurance that we are on the right track. Society, for a long time, that has been amplified in the last couple of decades, is destroying absolutes.
Yes.
And when you don't have any absolutes, what do you base your beliefs on? What do you base your security on? You have to base it on your own way of thinking. And since that's been warped, we're back to that one-liner that we've said a thousand times, a lie believed as a truth will affect you as a truth, even though it's a lie. And who wants to base their security, much less their eternity, on a lie?
Right, right.
So it affords us with an absolute standard.
So these are just things that the Christian receives with their conscience. Is that correct?
Yes, because you have to have the Holy Spirit working with the conscience. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, then your conscience is still active, but it's active based on guilt, based on shame. It's based on a bad conscience, because you can't have a good conscience without the Spirit.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
Okay, so with an absolute standard of truth, then there is another aspect that the Christian can enjoy, and that is that our conscience will hold us morally absolute.
Oh, okay.
So that when testings come, temptations come, we are able to resist.
So we have that moral absolute standard that we stand on.
Yes, and so that you could look at a very handsome man and appreciate the way he was created without taking it any further than that. Likewise, a man can look at a woman and appreciate her creation without going into lust.
Okay.
The conscience will convict if you cross over that border. And that is actually when we take something good and take it to an extreme.
Okay.
We've used this before.
A presumptuous sin.
That's right. We can have ice cream is fine to eat. A half a gallon in one setting is not fine. We take what is good, having an appetite, and we take it to an extreme. And then the conscience has to convict us, and then we're going to feel bad.
But that's a good thing.
But that's a good thing if you confess, repent, and apply.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Then you and I guess every woman on planet Earth loves authority. especially when we're
what,
in.
What, Janie? What?
I didn't say
Did
submitting.
You say?
I didn't say submitting. I said we just love that authority.
Oh, to have it?
But the conscience allows Jesus Christ's authority to be in us and rule over us. And Sharon, with the conscience, we joyfully submit. And that is supernatural.
Yeah, that is supernatural.
Truthfully, we laugh and joke about it, but that is a supernatural work of the Spirit through the conscience. And then many of us have a background where there has been abuse and misuse and neglect.
Or rebellion.
Yes, or anything that could cause us to be living in shame, living in remorse, regret, and living in unforgiveness. And the conscience, via the Spirit of the living God, gives us a new identity. So as soon as we accept Jesus Christ, we have been cleansed from all of our wrongness. We have His rightness. And now we have a new identity. So the things that used to embarrass us or hold us in shame, we can now look at just simply a matter of fact. There's no emotional or trauma associated with it. And we know that we are truly have forgiven whatever the past offenses might be when we can remember them simply like we would remember. Well, I remember I was at Estes Park in 1976. You just remember it as a fact. There's no emotional attached to it.
Well, and I find that it helps me in my testimony, or helps me to grow.
Yes, yes. I will just quickly say that one time when I was very resentful towards somebody and would respond to them wrongly, I knew that when they still had a tendency to attack me, I could say, well, okay, that's fine. Let's go get some ice cream. In other words, the heart was ready to just continue with communication, with forgiveness, with hearing the heart of God, not from a wounded heart, but from the freedom that the Holy Spirit gives us, according to 1 Corinthians 2.
Okay.
Okay? So when you can think about past trauma without having to still give everybody the past details of it, then you know you are set free or are being set free. I will say, I know several situations right now where the people are going through a process of being set free. Positionally, in their head, they have accepted it. But I've heard comments like, you don't know how hard it is to forget that trauma. Or I have forgiven, but the misgivings still continue in my current life. In other words, I'm choosing to forgive, and you know, we've had a seminar here about forgiving forward. You can choose to forgive the unknowns of the future because Jesus Christ has forgiven the unknowns to us of past, present, and future. And then he says, go and do likewise.
Right.
So I can choose to forgive what I don't know that's going to happen to me because I know I have been forgiven of everything that has ever happened or ever will happen.
Right.
So then in wrapping this up, once we know that we have that we can be under his authority without resentment and that we have a new identity that allows us to remember the past as just as a fact, not as trauma, then we know that the conscience is really our final court because as we choose to operate under the power of the Spirit through the conscience, it will determine on how we stand at the Bema, at the judgment seat of Christ. The choices, the decisions that we choose to make in keeping our conscience sensitive or dulling our conscience, that will all come to a full-blown judicial, judgmental, not for condemnation because we have a new identity in Jesus Christ, but according to Corinthians, where we will give an account for all of our deeds, all of our thoughts, all of our choices, all of our good decisions, poor decisions, there will be a day of reckoning. And that will not affect our eternal security, people, but it will affect how we reign and rule with him throughout eternity. And that is something that he has determined based on how we listen to the Spirit and how we allow the conscience to be our guide because it can safely guide us.
Right. So if we are somebody who has not listened to our conscience, not paid attention to the conscience and what's being said, and allowed our conscience to grow dull of hearing, then these are some truths that we can grab a hold of and realize that we can know God through our conscience. We can communicate directly with him. He gives us a new identity. He changes our hearts, basically, and molds our conscience to be sensitive to him.
Yes, and in closing, Sharon, I think we need to deal with the realities of life. And the realities of life is that some of our poor choices will have consequences. David made some bad choices. He was still a man after God's own heart. Elijah made some poor choices through fear and running and escape, but he is a man that will go down in the halls of eternal fame as being a man of God with a purpose of God, that God will fulfill his calling on Elijah throughout eternity. So there will be some sowing and reaping, but a principle of sowing and reaping is when we start to listen to our conscience and obey through the power of the Spirit, then new pathways are put down in our thinking, in our belief system, and the conscience is more than ready to effectively work in us dealing with all the realities of life, all the subjective things that we may encounter. The grace of Jesus Christ is all sufficient to get you through whatever consequences you may have, because the love of God is greater than the judgment of God for the believer.
Well, it's great to know, Janie, that we can allow our conscience to be transformed from dull of hearing to very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. To be able to live in victory is to be able to hear the Spirit clearly. And when we know what God says in his word about the conscience and how the conscience and the Holy Spirit works together, it just brings a whole full understanding. So we're going to have this list of 10 benefits of the conscience on our website at sharonhearts.org, and you can download it, print it, and study it through the scriptures for yourself. But that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlaff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hearts, Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.